Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Romans 14. In verse 10, the Bible says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is true for every single believer. Now, people who are not believers, who are not Christians, who are not saved, those people will not be before the judgment seat of Christ. They will be before something different. We're not going to talk about that today, but that's called the Great White Throne. Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment is not the way we think of judgment, where you judge somebody good or bad or right or wrong or like or dislike or what have you. This is a different type of a thing. The word in the original language is bema. Sometimes we call it the bema seat. If you ever hear me or another pastor referring to the bema seat, this is what they're talking about, the judgment seat of Christ. The bema was something that existed in ancient Roman countries. In other words, countries controlled by Rome. Israel was controlled by Rome at this time. It was an elevated platform that had a seat on it, a chair, a very fancy chair. But it was the place where the governor would sit and he would hand out rewards. So let's say that a soldier was excellent in a battle. Then he would come before the bema, this elevated platform. The governor would sit on the seat that was on the platform, the bema seat. The soldier would be before the bema seat, in front of it, and the governor would talk about what the soldier did and give him reward for what he had accomplished in battle. That's one example. In heaven, there is something similar. We will stand before Christ at his seat of judgment for reward. Christians cannot be judged for anything else other than for reward. Some people will gain reward, some people will not gain reward. At that point, every Christian will know he's a winner because he's in heaven. But by heaven's standards, some will be winners and others will not. In other words, some will get reward and some people will not. Some people will get reward to a very large extent, a great deal of reward, and some people will only get a little bit of reward. We want God to declare us winners. So, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about how to be a winner with God. Now, the beginning of that verse in Romans 14:10 says, why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? And then it continues, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's saying two things. Number one, you don't have to evaluate another person. God will evaluate them. That's not our job, to evaluate other people. The second thing is, you don't want to be in the place where you are evaluating someone because God is going to evaluate your life for certain things, and evaluating other people, judging other people, is one of those things for which people suffer loss. And so you don't want to go there. God will evaluate other people. You don't have to worry about it. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't worry about it. And because God's going to evaluate you, you don't want to go to places and do things that God says you don't want to do this. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:13, each person's work will become clear. In other words, what you've done on earth will be made absolutely clear. Not your failures. This is something you should know. God will never bring up your mistakes. You will simply suffer loss for those mistakes, but God's not going to say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, therefore you lose. No, that's not how it works. Your mistakes, your sins, your failures, they're all washed away by the blood of Christ. Thank God. That doesn't mean it's okay to get into them. It's not. They're very destructive. But God will not bring them up at the Bema Seat. Those areas of your life that were right with God, those are going to be what remains in heaven. Those areas where you were not right with God, those things will just totally disappear from time. That's Psalm 103:12. Now, the things that remain, the things that were right with God, will either be gold in verse 12, silver, or precious stones. The other things are considered to be wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I'm not going to so much get into the meaning of wood, hay, and stubble. It's enough to say that those are the things that will not remain. And real quick, so I don't leave people confused, wood is the things of the old sin nature, hay is the things of the emotions, and stubble is the things that we never follow up on. In other words, we start, we never finish. God will deal with gold, silver, and precious stones toward us. Gold is the things of faith. Anything that was a faith response, God calls it gold. Silver is the things of redemption. In other words, the things that Christ has done for us. Forgiveness, for example. Mercy. Things like that. Kindness. That's all silver. And then precious stones are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. But there are several things that stem from love. Joy stems from love. Peace in your heart stems from love. Patient endurance stems from love. Kindness stems from love. Goodness. Goodness is graciousness. Gentleness. Things like that stem from love. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all come out of love. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you have faith responses, if you have the things that are of redemption, again, those are things like forgiveness, mercy, compassion, kindness, gentleness, being sweet to people, those are silver. Those things will be rewarded. That's how you get to be a winner. Now, what do I need to do to have those things? Because it's great that those things are rewarded, but how do I use that? How do I apply that in my life? What's the practical part of it? Well, turn in your Bible, please, to John 15. In verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is our relationship to Him. This is the type of relationship we have. We are directly connected to Him, and the vine provides all the nourishment and water and supplies the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Young people, please understand this and remember it for the rest of your life. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Now, we can do all things through Christ, but without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Now, that doesn't mean I can't pick up myself and go across the street or whatever without Christ. What it's saying is, without Him, I cannot do anything that is worthwhile. I cannot do anything without Him that will result in eternal reward. Remember, we're on earth only very short periods of time. Even if we're here for 100 years. I know 100 years can seem like a long time, but one of the things I've noticed, and I've heard a lot of people say it, I remember when I was young, people would say it, and I would believe them, but I never could really appreciate the full meaning of it, and now that I'm a little bit older, not old, but a little bit older, I get it. People say time goes by so quickly. I would see somebody who is 80 years old and they would say, time goes by so quickly. I was just 20 years old. I was just in high school. I was just a kid. Time goes by so quickly. You know, it really does. When you're young, fortunately, you can't really perceive that. You don't feel that, and that's good. But when you're older, you start to realize how fast it goes. Never live outside of Christ. That's your choice. It's an important choice for you to make. In all things, keep Christ in your forethoughts. In all things, acknowledge Him. In other words, no matter what your decision, big or small, say, God, help me, or God, cause me to do the right thing or make the right choice. Always acknowledge Him. Why? Because you want to be a winner. That's why. You're talking to somebody. Real quick, Holy Spirit, help me. Why? You want to be a winner. Now, sometimes you'll forget to do that. You don't get condemned about it. You don't worry about it. You don't get hung up on it. Just next time, do it. Simple as that. So, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That means if I abide in him and he in me, I get a lot of reward. Well, that's what we want because those rewards last for eternity. We are on earth to prepare us for a life in eternity with God. So those rewards are a really big deal. You want to be a winner? Abide in Him and let Him abide in you. Now what does that mean, abide in Him? In 1 John 4:18, the Word of God says that God is love. So if we're abiding in Him, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. Jude 21 tells us that the way that we do that is to look for mercy. You want to keep yourself in the love of God? Look for mercy. Simple as that. You want to keep yourself in the love of God? Look for mercy. You look for opportunities to use mercy for yourself and for other people. Look for mercy. You make a mistake, you run to the mercy of God and you know that God will forgive you and be kind to you and be merciful to you and He'll take care of you and He'll help you with your mistakes. If somebody else does something, even if it's against you, you look for opportunities to be patient and kind and loving and sweet and gentle, and if the person's not saved, to bring them to Christ so they can be saved, to tell them about the love of Jesus. You look for these opportunities. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. That's how you abide in Him. Then it says, if He abides in you. Well, in John 1:14, the Word of God is who Christ is. The Word of God became a living person. That was Jesus. So in John 1:14, if I want Him to abide in me, I keep the Word of God in my heart, in my thinking. Let that become the basis of all your thoughts. And the way that you do that is you receive the Word of God and you receive the Word of God as much as you can. You keep receiving the Word of God, and that means Him abiding in you. If you have this, you will receive a lot of rewards. Simple as that. In John 15:7, if you abide in me, in other words, in the love of God, you keep yourself in the love of God through mercy, and His words abide in you, you'll ask God whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. So not only do you get rewards in heaven, you get amazing benefits and rewards here on earth. The same thing that will allow you to be a winner in heaven allows you to be a winner on earth. Why? Because a winner is always a winner. You want to get to the point where when you appear before Christ, and every born-again Christian will, And it's going to be, for a lot of people, a very joyful time. But when you get before Christ, you want Him to look at you and you want Him to say, you are a winner. You are going to get boatloads of rewards. You're going to get boatloads of gold, silver, and precious stones. You're going to get a beautiful mansion. You're going to get all these amazing rewards that you can never, ever lose. How do I get there? What do I need to do to be a winner? Keep yourself in the love of God and make sure the Word of God is in your thoughts as the basis for your thoughts. When that happens, you're a winner. Everybody understand that? All right, that's it for today.